Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Welcome to the podcast, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm Jason Thomas, here to talk some Chiefs football with you guys. It is currently Sunday morning, and training camp just started for the Chiefs this morning. And there are a few interesting things. Willie Gay and Mike Remmers are on the sideline for practice. I don't believe they're participating today, but they are at least out on the field, probably getting some mental reps and a little work on the side. And Antonio Callaway is not there. He got a bone bruise last week, had to be kind of carted up the hill. It didn't look very good at the time, but bone bruise, you know, hopefully it won't keep him out all of camp, because he was somebody that was starting to make some noise. He's somebody who can return kicks and do some things that way. I thought he might have a chance to make this team behind Hardman and Pringle as a guy who could return kicks, and they wouldn't have to if they become important enough in this offense. And of course, Callaway brings a lot of speed to that receiver position behind Hardman and Hill. That would, you know, be nice to have if something happened to one of those guys, that you can still stretch the field. So it was just something interesting that you guys might keep your eyes on out there. See if he's able to make it back in time to have a chance to make this team. There was another piece of news this morning that relates to Chiefs Kingdom just a little bit, because there are a lot of people out there that were kind of hoping that the Chiefs would get Xavien Howard from Miami. Howard has restructured his deal this year with Miami, and is going to be happy there this season. They just work some things around where I think if he makes the Pro Bowl and hits a few marks, he can make about $3.5 million more this year. So he is good with the Dolphins. He's not going to leave. The Chiefs have to use what they have. Right now it looks like Mike Hughes is that starting corner on the outside when Snead is not out there. And then Baker, he's been getting some of those reps too. He's also been getting a few days off to kind of rest and let that leg heal, and, you know, as he works back into shape. So with Mike Remmers being back out there, it's possible he starts practicing again this week. It'll be interesting to see if he jumps right back in there with the first team at right tackle. Lucas Niang has been getting most of that work while he's been out. I think Andrew Wiley did get some reps because Niang got a little banged up a couple times. From everything I've heard about Niang is that, you know, he's one of those guys that you can see is improving every day out there with those reps. So that's good to hear. I don't know if he's ready to start day one, but he's at least, you know, getting some of the work in camp and seeing what he needs to improve and work on to be able to be out there as a starter. I think that's a really good thing. You see that in baseball a lot, which I love baseball too. You know, there's a big time prospect that comes up and, his first couple weeks in the big leagues is not very good. And you're like, man, what was the hype about this guy all about? And he gets sent back down and he comes up, you know, a couple months later or the next year, and he's just on fire because he saw what his weaknesses were and he worked on those and he's over some of the nerves. And I think it works that way in football sometimes too. The other injury I'd mentioned was Willie Gay. He missed, I think, basically all of this last week with a concussion. That's not really what you want to see with your linebackers. Those guys are putting their heads in there a lot and hitting people. I hope he's okay, because I think that guy has a chance to be a phenomenal player for the Chiefs this season and long past this season. So hopefully he's able to shake that and then get back in there and get more out of this camp, because of course he missed last year's camp. You hate to see him miss this year's camp, because it feels like, that's when all the teaching happens. And, he's a guy that's where it really feels like that's what he needs. He's got all the physical ability in the world, but he just needs some of the mental work. There is one topic that I had on my mind I wanted to talk a little bit about this morning, and that is this Chris Jones, because, you know, the hype with him right now is unbelievable. He's looking as good as he's ever looked in camp. They're moving him all over the place. You know, he's getting to play, you know, left defensive end, right defensive end. Go back to that three tech position. He played quite a bit last year. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about him basically going against the opposing team's worst offensive linemen. I think Matty Lane talked about that some on the KC Laboratory podcast a while back. And then there were some other people on Twitter kind of talking about that idea. And that is a fine idea. You know, you put your best player on the defensive line against the worst offensive lineman. Most teams have one offensive lineman that is a, you know, below average player. And then, you know, there's still the strength in the rest of the defensive line. But I wanted to put the brakes on this just a little bit with the thought of Chris Jones having this monstrous stat year. Which it is very possible that Chris Jones goes out there and has between 10 and 15 sacks and just has this phenomenal season stat-wise and gets recognition, you know, nationally from everybody, because that's what you got to do. You got to get the sack numbers to get the recognition nationally. But I think there's also a very big chance that the Chiefs, you know, they do put him against the worst offensive lineman on the other team, and the other team gives that guy help. And, you know, Chris Jones is constantly affecting the other team's quarterback, and he's holding up good against the run, and he's helping the team. And he's having the best season he's ever had. But that it's not necessarily going to show up in this monstrous sack season. You know, I think it's very possible that he has 6 to 8 sacks from the edge, and he plays very good against the run, and that, you know, Frank Clark this season ends up with 12 to 15 sacks. And it's not necessarily that Frank Clark would be playing just a whole lot better. It's just that, you know, teams will be much more worried about the other side or where Chris Jones is than Frank Clark. And with the addition of Jaron Reed and some of these other kind of specified pass rushers, I think they could benefit a lot from Chris Jones moving around like that. They're going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups. And you know, it's kind of like Mahomes in 2019, following this, you know, 2018 year where he's the MVP and could do no wrong, and every play was a highlight, and he put up a season for the ages. And then 2019 comes around, and the numbers weren't the same. But that doesn't mean he played worse at all. They won the Super Bowl. You know, they accomplished what they meant to accomplish in 2019. And Mahomes, I think, was a better player in 2019. It just didn't show up in the stats. And I think that is something that could definitely happen with Chris Jones this year, that moving him around helps the entire defense. But maybe it won't help his numbers quite the same way that some people are thinking and the hype is going. You know, I would love to see him get the 10 sacks. If Chris Jones got the 10 sacks on the edge, I think that would be a great season, even in the 17 games. So we were talking a little bit about Mahomes' 2018 season a while ago, and it was an incredible season. The highlights from that season are probably going to be the best of any quarterback for one season ever. And, you know, it's easy to take for granted how amazing he is. You can't really put it into words. It's just something that you got to see. And we get to see it every week, so you get kind of desensitized to just how amazing he is. But I did want to talk a little bit about something that I would like to see him keep improving on. Because I do think it's something he's improved on the last couple of years. It's something I noticed his rookie year. Mahomes completed about 33% of his deep passes his rookie season. Which is right around, you know, league average, a little bit above league average, actually. But for Mahomes, you know, with his type of arm strength and just the competitor he is, I think he could be a lot better at that. Guys like Ben Roethlisberger, when he still had an arm, and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, they throw beautiful deep balls. They get so much air under it, the ball just drops out of the sky. And Mahomes has such a strong arm that on a lot of those deep balls, he kind of lasers it in, which kind of takes your room for error out of it when you throw it like that. But I have noticed year after year, he started getting a little more air under it and a little more air under it. And I'd like to see that keep improving with the deep ball, especially with Hardman and Hill both having prominent roles in the offense this year, hopefully, if everybody stays healthy. You know, they're going to be stretching those corners and running a lot of deep routes. And, you know, just getting more air into the ball. I think Mahomes, if he completed 50% of those passes in a season, his numbers would be unreal. And I would really like to see that because it is a lot of fun to watch. Now, the Chiefs will have their first preseason game before the next podcast. They play the San Francisco 49ers next Saturday evening, I believe. And I want to talk a little bit about what I wanted to watch. You know, the rookies, I think, are first and foremost for everybody out there. You want to see those guys in pads as a Chief for the first time. The Trey Smith hype is getting unreal. The guy looks like a player. Those reps against Chris Jones and one-on-ones. You know, you hear Mike DeVito talk about it in the podcast with him and Jeff Allen. That's on the KC Sports Network, which is a great podcast. But the defensive players, if they don't win the one-on-one rep, they get heckled. They're expected to win every rep. And Trey Smith was going one-on-one against Chris Jones and holding his own, winning some of those reps as a rookie in his first camp. And that's saying a lot for that guy. Jeff Allen was saying that he didn't think there were many human beings on the earth that could do that. And that's what you like to hear from a guy like Jeff Allen, who had the phenomenal kind of strength that he had as a player. And then, you know, the Noah Gray, you've heard me get hyped about him. The truth is, you know, he's probably going to be a guy that gets 20 or 25 receptions and 200, 250 yards this year. That would be a good rookie year for him. But I've kind of got to fill in the hype, and, you know, I'd like to see him get a lot more than that. But, you know, you just don't know what kind of opportunity he's going to get, how many actual snaps he's going to be on the field. But, you know, I'm excited to see him for the first time. Guys like Cornell Powell, he could get a lot of play in this first preseason game. But outside of the rookies, there is a guy that I'm interested in watching, and that is Colin Saunders. Because he's going into his third year, hearing some very good things about him in camp. And, you know, I watched every snap of his 2 years ago in the preseason. He was somebody that I watched every snap and talked about it on podcasts, probably even wrote about it at the time because I was writing for some different places at the time. And he just did not look like he belonged, even against, you know, other teams' third and fourth stringers. He looked like a fish out of water. And I didn't know what to make of that because, you know, a third-round pick, I did not expect him to look that bad. And then as the season went on, you know, he actually got to play in some games. And he didn't look as bad as the season went on. And then last year, of course, he dislocated his elbow pretty early in the year. And we just didn't get to see a lot out of him. So I want to see how much he's improved with my own eyes this preseason and see if he has a legitimate shot to make this team, because I think he's somebody that, you know, is definitely in the last 7 or 8 roster spots on this team, even if he does make it. So, you know, he's got a fight ahead of him. And he's somebody that I didn't know much about him coming out in college. He was kind of a lower level guy, you know, football subdivision. But he's somebody that, you know, is so easy to root for, and you want him to succeed. So I'm really hoping that I can see that improvement in him Saturday. And he's somebody that I will specifically be watching, you know, every one of his reps. Another guy that I want to see is Byron Pringle. He's somebody I've liked for a long time. And, you know, see how many reps he gets out there. Does he play a lot of the preseason games, or do they think so much of him that they don't play him too much in the preseason games? You know, is it going to be, you know, do they think of him as the legit number 4 receiver? And, you know, he's not out there playing a lot, vying for the 5th and 6th spot. It'll be something that I personally keep my eye on. There's you know, a lot of defensive battles going on out there in the secondary. You know, he's going to be the last safety to make it, who's going to be the last corner to make it. Those are battles that, you know, a lot of you guys will be watching. I will be too. I haven't mentioned Devin Key in this podcast, but, you know, everybody in Chiefs Kingdom out there has been talking about him this last week. He's an undrafted guy that looks like he's the fourth safety on the team right now. And, you know, what does that mean for Imani Watts? Probably bad things. It might mean bad things for Will Parks, the free agent that the Chiefs signed this offseason, who's, you know, played quite a bit in this league. You know, I'd like to see Rashad Fenton. I haven't heard a ton about him in camp this year, but he's somebody that when he gets out there, he always makes plays. And DeAndre Baker, you know, that's another guy. I personally, you know, just in my gut, I like Rashad Fenton, excuse me, better than Hughes or Baker, but that's obviously not how the team feels at the moment. But, you know, Fenton has just been such a surprise. The first couple of years, a sixth-round guy that's just come out there and battled. And, you know, I'd like to see him get in this battle. And now whether he's the best of the three, you know, I don't know. And probably not, honestly. But can he get out there and push those guys and make sure that they give their best if they're going to be out on the field? I think he definitely can. And, you know, I think, you know, back to the rookies, I think everybody's excited to see Nick Bolton get on the field a little bit and hit somebody. Even though I wasn't the biggest fan of the pick at the place they took him, there's no denying that he can lay some people out. And yeah, that's something that's just enjoyable. It's enjoyable to watch. Nobody likes getting laid out. But it's definitely fun to watch. I'm sure you guys out there have a lot of things that you're hyped for, good luck with all that. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I appreciate every listener that's out there that will listen to me ramble. So thank you very much. Bye.